Well, three nurses died and went up to heaven. And St. Peter said to the first nurse, "Tell me, what did you do with your life?" And the first nurse said, "Well, I worked in the emergency room. It was very challenging, but we were able to help save lives, and I think it was worthwhile." St. Peter said, "That's fabulous. Come on in. I hope you enjoy heaven for all eternity." St. Peter turned to the second nurse and said, "What did you do with your life?" The nurse said, "I worked in hospice. It was very challenging and very difficult work, but we were able to comfort many people, and I think it was worthwhile." St. Peter said, "That's great. Come on in. I hope you enjoy heaven for all eternity." Then he faced the third nurse and said, "What did you do with your life?" The nurse said, "Well, for the last years of my life, I worked as a managed care nurse for an HMO. St. Peter wrinkled his brow and pulled out a calculator, a set of manuals, and a pencil. He spent time writing and scrunching up pieces of paper and then looked up and said, "I can approve you for a 5-day stay." Now, in today's gospel, we have a little glimpse of heaven. It is the transfiguration. Now, God willing, we'll all be in heaven for all eternity, where we hope to enjoy the beatific vision. But today, Peter, James, and John get a little temporary glimpse of heaven because they get to see the true divinity of Christ revealed, the beauty of his soul, the beauty of his body, radiant as the Son of God. And the Lord, of course, kept this hidden during his 33 years in his earthly stay in Jerusalem and Nazareth. When the Lord walked around, he did not glow. He did not radiate light or the beauty of his divinity. He kept that hidden, even as a little baby born in Bethlehem. Only those with the eyes of faith knew that he was the Son of God. Jesus kept his divinity hidden, but today he revealed it at the Transfiguration. He revealed it to strengthen the faith of these apostles, Peter, James, and John, these three bishops of the church, these three pillars of the church, and through them, he strengthens our faith in the divinity of Christ. So take a look at this gospel reading today, a very powerful reading that we always hear on the second Sunday of Lent. I think the church gives us this reading of the Transfiguration each year on the second Sunday of Lent to encourage us in our Lenten prayer and penance. Yes, we began with Ash Wednesday and the first Sunday of Lent. The church wants us to be encouraged, and so it gives us this powerful reading to encourage us that suffering is temporary, penance is temporary, and we look forward one day to seeing God face to face in the beatific vision, looking forward to heaven for all eternity. Today we also see a little glimpse, a little preview of the resurrection, because we see the beauty of Jesus's body and soul that will be revealed when he rises from the dead. So today we have a preview of coming attractions. You know, when you go to a movie, movies never start on time. They always start 15 minutes late. You know why? Because of previews of coming attractions. They want to get you interested in movies that come out 3 months or 6 months from now. And so today we have a preview of the coming attraction of the resurrection, a preview of what heaven will be like. So when we look at today's gospel, we're encouraged to persevere in our Lenten prayer and penance. Because, yes, all suffering is temporary, all penance is temporary, but heaven is eternal. The beatific vision of seeing God face to face is eternal. When you look at today's account from St. Mark, you see that the Lord took his three closest friends, his three closest apostles, Peter, James, and John, up the high mountain, which tradition tells us is Mount Tabor, not too far from Jerusalem. Why did the Lord take Peter, James, and John? Well, whenever the Lord did something very special, he took his three closest friends. He took them into the room to see the raising of the daughter of Jairus from the dead. He took them into the tomb when he raised Lazarus from the dead. And then the Lord would call these three apostles, Peter, James, and John, into the Garden of Gethsemane. Yes, all the apostles were in the garden, but it says he chose Peter, James, and John and took them deeper and further into the garden. And that's when the Lord sweat blood. He went through his bloody sweat. So these three would see Jesus at his lowest point, when he looked the least divine, when he was sweating blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. Knowing that, he wanted to prepare them and strengthen their faith so that they would not give in to the scandal of the cross, so that they would not lose their faith. He wanted to reveal his true power, his true nature, his true divinity, because he knew that these three men, Peter, James, and John, would see him at his lowest point. So he took them up to the high mountain. If you go to Jerusalem today, they have tours. There's a beautiful church built on top of the Mount of the Transfiguration, and it's so steep that the buses can only take you halfway up the mountain. And then you have to get off the big school buses and get into taxis. And then these taxis take four or five people, and they go zooming up these very steep cliffs and dangerous roads at about 70 miles an hour, because they know the roads, and they get you up to the very top, and that's, you can have mass up there and see the place where Jesus was transfigured and revealed his divinity, gave the apostles a preview of the resurrection, and also a little preview of his glory in heaven. So it says he was transfigured. His clothes became so white. And next to him, the two greatest figures of the Old Testament appeared: Moses, the great lawgiver, Elijah, the great prophet. They represented the law and the prophets. They were the two witnesses for the Lord. And Scripture and the Jewish faith always said that you need at least two witnesses for something to be counted. So these were the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah. Moses had lived 1,500 years before Christ. Elijah had lived 800 years before Christ. And now they were with the Lord, conversing with him about his upcoming passion, death, and resurrection. So notice that those who died, even though their bodies had died, their souls were still alive. We call this in our faith the communion of saints. And that's why we ask Mary and St. Francis and St. Therese and the apostles to intercede and to pray for us, because those with God are not dead. Their bodies are no longer with them at this point, but they are still alive. They can still pray for us. They can still intercede for us. So this is very good Catholic apologetics on why we ask the saints to intercede for us, because they care about us. They want to pray for us. They want to intercede for us. Moses and Elijah had lived, as I mentioned, 800 and 1,500 years before Christ, but they were still interested in Christ. They were talking to him about his upcoming passion, death, and resurrection. And while they were speaking to the Lord, St. Peter, who always says the wrong thing at the wrong time, he came up with an idea. Let's always make this last. Let's build three tents, three chapels, three little churches, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Because he did not want to go back down from the mountain. He wanted to keep this permanently. But God the Father has to interrupt him, and the bright cloud of the Holy Spirit enveloped them, and the voice of God the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." So we now have a manifestation of the Blessed Trinity. We have the bright cloud of the Holy Spirit, we have the voice of God the Father, and we have the Son of God, Jesus, the beloved Son. And what does the Father say? "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." How are we doing that? Do we listen to Christ? Where is the voice of Christ today? It is in his church. Remember, Jesus said, "He who hears you, hears me." So if you want to hear the voice of Christ on any topic, on issues of faith and morals, go to the church. If you want to know what Jesus teaches, go to the church. He said, "He who hears you, hears me." He told the church, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever is loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. So to listen to our beloved Savior Jesus Christ is to listen to the church. To listen to the church is to listen to the voice of Christ present in the world today. So then after this, the apparition disappeared. Moses and Elijah left, and Peter, James, and John were with the Lord. And the Lord told them not to reveal this until the Son of Man had been raised from the dead. Well, of course, they did reveal it. We have it in sacred scripture. So even though we were not there, the apostles were there. They were witnesses of the divinity of Christ and the transfiguration. They have now passed that down to us, and we believe it because of their witness, because of their testimony. So when we look at today's gospel, I think we can really see so many beautiful truths. The truth of the divinity of Christ, the truth of the Blessed Trinity, of the voice of the Father, the bright cloud of the Holy Spirit. We see the preview of the coming attraction of the resurrection. We see a little glimpse of future heavenly glory. We see the communion of saints and Moses and Elijah talking to the Lord. We're reminded that suffering is temporary, that penance is temporary, because one day we will share in the glory of the resurrection. We also, lastly, see the beauty of the Lord's body, which I think is good to apply to the Holy Eucharist. Notice when Jesus walked the earth 2,000 years ago, during his 33 years, he kept his divinity hidden. When people saw him, they saw a man. But in the Eucharist, he not only keeps his divinity hidden, he hides his humanity as well. So think about that, that in the Holy Eucharist, we have the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ present under the appearances of bread and wine. So the Eucharist is really an even greater miracle than the Transfiguration, because the Holy Eucharist not only hides the divinity of Christ, it also hides the humanity of Christ. But nonetheless, it is still Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity, in his glorified, resurrected body under the appearances of bread and wine. So whenever I think about the Transfiguration and how Jesus at one moment did reveal his true nature, his true divinity, I'm always reminded of the Holy Eucharist, where Jesus keeps hidden not only his divinity, but even his humanity under the appearances of bread and wine.